The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's Taking Stock. It's 12 o'clock. Welcome along. Hope you're well. It's a bit of a dreary old Monday. Not a lot going on. Is John here? No. Where is Johnny? I have no idea where he is. I have no idea at all. The question today, do you have a favourite stock? If so, let me know. There's also a subsequent question that I want to ask you, all right? But let's have a quick look at the old indices here. So we've got the FTSE down a smidge, 0.17%. AIM All Share, oh, it's up. In fact, let's have a look at the AIM All Share. Look at that, it's now up. Oh, a little alert there on the OMG, crossing 50-day moving average. But up 7.55%. At least the market's not tanking, you know? Maybe this was the bottom down here on Thursday, the 26th of October. But I'll tell you who's taking a bit of a hit today. Ashtead, one of the fallers in the FTSE 100, down 12.45%. And they are like a £20 billion company. They do sort of rental, all that stuff. So the market's a little bit soft. They did blame a bit of weather there. But nevertheless, they guided down their profits and all that stuff. Compass Group down, AstraZeneca down, Mark's down. What's the rises here? Ocado, John's favourite stock of all time. But FTSE 250 up, it's nice to see. So, anyway, do you have a favourite stock? Oh, I did, a couple of comments. AI investor, you win the first commenter of the day award. Well done, fella. In fact, that was just before we went live. So you sneaked in there just before the gun went off. My favourite stocks are Unilever, Legal & General, and National Grid. They're quite safe and sensible, aren't they? So maybe why they're favourite stocks, though. All big players. Favourite tiddler is Time Finance. Riffs off. No. Full stop at the end there. GB62, Legal & General. Such a strong dividend player. Mark, the recent updates to Vox have created so many ads that are so imposing. Very frustrating. Mark, that is not part of it. How do you think we pay for the website? Ocado is my favourite, says Michael S. I'd like to see that. When John comes back on, if he ever comes back on, we'll point that out. Chris, Anik, food and clothes of the future. In 2025, their sizable stake in the only mass production precision fermentation will be open for business. Added to that, dog food company Meatly is imminent. My favourite tiddly is Tissue Regenics. So here's the question. I've been reading a lot about this. When you've made a loss in a stock, why was it? Well, I obviously know why it was. Essentially, you sold it, if you did sell it, below where you bought it at. You know, that's the economics of it all. But my thought was this. You should never have a favourite stock. Discuss that. I mean, you have, you know, stocks that perform and you like them, but you should never like or, you know, have a favourite stock. Because the fact is you have confirmation bias. And then you start to look at, you know, the narrative, the story, falling in love with the story. Narrative rather than numbers, you know, opinion versus fact. Numbers are fact, aren't they? And sometimes I've had this in the past when I fall in love with the stock and they've come up with updates and they haven't been good. But I've looked for the positive, you know, which is not a bad thing in life. But in stocks and investing sometimes, it's not that good, is it? When you're trying to search for the positive in what is, let's be honest, a generalized, you know, negative outlook. But I suppose when I say favorite, it's not too bad having a favorite stock if they're performing. But it's the fact of never falling in love with the stock, you know, because it does blind you completely. All they are is companies. And your outcome is to get a positive return. That's all you need to do, you know. And if your sort of emotions clouding that ultimate outcome, then you won't do well, I suppose. And that's the thing. You can keep going down and down and down because you're in love with it. You feel almost part of a family. I can't let this company go. I love it. So is that an issue? Falling in love, having a favourite, not treating them as, you know, they're just companies. No point falling in love with them, you know? My favourite stock is triple leverage Dogecoin. Yeah. Is that still around? Has Elon just sort of dumped that now, has he? Anyway, let's have a look at the front page of Vox here. Let's see what's on the news, making the news today. Some bits of news, not a huge amount. And Ilika, this is a stock I held a while back, and not far from me. They're based just down the road there, their headquarters. And I do like this, but they've achieved a key milestone, the Goliath battery roadmap. So currently, they do sort of tiny sort of batteries for some medical devices and all that stuff, you know. But this Goliath is for EVs. And it's very interesting what they're saying there. They're heading towards now 57 million market cap. Let's have a look. And they say that the first prototype for customer release, P1, is based. And they've achieved certain things. It makes it equivalent to lithium-ion batteries. But it's solid-state pouch cell. This is what they're doing. And the energy density is the same, and there's certain advantages to having this kind of thing. But it's very interesting, this. And so, and in fact, Graham to me, achieving our D4 development point is an important milestone in our technology roadmap, as it forms the basis of our first prototype product pilot run, with the objective of sharing prototypes with our customer base in 2024. This achievement is a clear demonstration that the ILEC team is working very efficiently with the available resources to achieve credible outcomes for our customers within ambitious timeframes that we've set. So that there, within available resources. That's very interesting. It's for 57 million market cap. Let's look where they are. I know it's at the moment small revenue, because this is the commercialization of this is what's key. So turnover of 700 grand, loss there of 7 million. How much cash they got? 15 million. That should last them. Shouldn't it? Let's look at the chart of Ilika. I did do well on this. It's a very good sort of Christmas present for me back in, 3 years ago now. I literally, I bought some of this way back then. I don't know how it is now. And it pretty much doubled within 2 or 3 days. It went from 98 to 280. Since then, you can see pretty much there, it's come down a lot. And in fact, it's still below that 200-day moving average. But it's one of those things where, you know, we all know EVs, you know, they're going to have penetration. At the moment, what is it? I don't know what the percentage is. Less than 5% of world cars are EVs. So, you know, and that's only going to grow, isn't it? So you see more demand for this. But it's certainly a company worth keeping an eye on, I think. Definitely. Because they're in that space of solid-state batteries, which is very interesting there. What else on the front page there? Let's scroll down here. Thruvision reports increased revenues amid heightened security demands. I can imagine that. So there's Lauren right in the above that. So, you know, check that out. But just checking this out, Thruvision, 29 million market cap. Just released their interim results today. And top line growth, even though it's from a small sort of base, it's very good, 28% top line. I tend to, you know, want to look at companies, you know, in excess of 20. If you're investing in small companies, they've got to have growth. And, you know, that's growth there. 35 million. It's also worth 7 million. What are they? Four times sales, say, by that. How much cash they got? They're making a slight loss of 1.4 million EBITDA. The cash of 2.4 million. Okay. Through is ticker. I haven't looked at these for a long time, actually. Let's look at it. What's the guess? Is it uptrend or downtrend? Let's have a look. Uptrend or downtrend? Oh, yeah. Well, you can say safely it's in a bit of a downtrend. Also, seemingly quite illiquid there, because you can see the gappy chart. That's what happens when you get that. Well, the average volume is, it's not that bad, actually. 531. It's all right. It may be worth looking at, because I think security, is it just me? As you get older, do you just notice more security threats and more worry in the world? Or is there more worry in the world? Is the world more unstable? Or is that something you just focus on as you get older? It does seem to me it's getting that way, which is odd. You think with the sophistication of technology and, you know, just human brains, we tend to get on more, but we don't. It seems to be a more, you know, worrisome world. So companies like that, defense, all that, would tend to do very well, I think, going forward. Let's have a look. Ocado. How's Ocado doing? I did hold Agronomics for a while. Anik, that is. Let's have a look at the chart of Agronomics. ANIC. Did they come up with some news today or the weekend? Let's have a look. It's in a painful downtrend, isn't it? You can see that straight away. You know, it hasn't breached that 200-day moving average since, back in 2023. So what convinces you that that's going to do well? Let me know if you hold that. Tell me why you think that's a good one. Because there's a story, isn't there? Like I said, there's a narrative and there's the numbers. And sometimes we can focus too much on the narrative and that blinds us to the numbers. So, Chris, why do you like it? I mean, you know, I understand that area of the market's going to get bigger, but are they the only player there? what's likely the worry about commercialization execution? Let's have a look at. Did they release some news, Agronomic? Did I see something here? Let's have a look. No, Solar Foods completes Europe funding. Not today, anyway. Okay, let's have a look at some of the big rises here. This is, we'll look at Ondo, actually, interim results of the day, down 9%. That's the market like that. But Helium One, look at this here, right? Helium One. It's literally, we've covered this. It's been one of the most read. Every time they release news, it's one of the most read. Now, I looked at the chart. I said, maybe people are trying to catch up on the hype around this. But literally, they have a technical problem after technical problem drilling this Tie-3 well. And now they've drilled it, right? Down 45%. Seems like a duster. I mean, if you can't work out how a drill has gone, because sometimes it's quite technical. They'll tell you about certain things. And, well, I don't want to know that. Did you discover anything? All you have to do is look at the share price. So essentially, they say no basement downhole samples obtained, as the wireline tools cannot be run past for. So it's not looking very good, essentially. I mean, and this is a really painful looking chart for investors. So, you know, this hype up here, like I said, it went to 400% in a year, and then it's continued to go downwards, death by 1,000 cuts, couple of rallies, but now it's dropped off. Even that last trading range is broken down below. So it's, you know what? It's very high risk drilling, whatever you think, especially wildcat drills. You know, like it is odds against chance success. And I think investing, really, if you're an investor rather than a trader or gambler, you don't go for that. You go for odds on. And that means, almost maybe cash generative or undervalued companies that are, you know, generating revenue in some way. Sorry, there were some comments that I didn't see. Let's have a look. My favorite stock is Trulia. Yeah. If John is not coming back, could you occasionally bring in a surprise guest like Robbie Burns? I think you're going to say Robbie Williams then. That wouldn't be a surprise. Yeah, I've got a new Netflix show out, Ravens, who invest differently. Yeah. Well, I'm up for guests. I think John is coming back, but it's just a case of when. I've held Ilika, unfortunately, since before they decided to concentrate on batteries. They'll reach a key milestone if or when this is going to be cash flow positive. Now, I do agree with that. I mean, you've got to look at companies. That's a good example. Ilika, for example. You can read the positive update there. But at the end of the day, it comes out in numbers, doesn't it? You know, I mean, they're not generating cash at the moment. And so it's not really going to take off, especially in this environment where it's very tough to raise money. Until they can sort of, you know, have that runway towards a cash generation, and they've got enough cash to get there. That's it. Let's look at Ocado. Ocado is my favorite. Is it really? You're just saying that to wind John up, even though he's not here. John, are you watching? He probably does watch. It's a little bouncing a little bit. They're trying to get about a 200-day moving average, Ocado. It's quite volatile, Ocado, isn't it? Wow, for a big stock, quite volatile. What do I see here? Oh, yeah. Ondo. Let's look at the most followed today, Ondo. They have had RNSs out. Interim results out. And so let's have a look at the results. So revenue of 1.2 million for the six-month period. Increase of 24%. Recurring revenue from software and services. And that's what they're heading towards, they say. They're looking for recurring revenue. Of course, that will be a slower incremental growth. But nevertheless, it's more, it's more predictable. You have further visibility of recurring revenue. Loss of 1.6, that's come down from 2.1. That's good to know. Restructuring of the five-year loan notes. They raised $800,000 back in May. They do seem to be, you know, heading in the right direction. A lot of growth there. These leak bots. Certainly, getting some sign-ups there. From last one, I think, was it the, Nationwide. Not Nationwide over here, but a top 10 homeowners insurer. And Fortune 100 company in the US. But so let's scroll down. Let's have a look there. I do like the graphics they put in here. They're saying that the penetrable house, well, these are looking good there. Basically, addressable markets, households. But 1.6. So you got to look at how much cash they have here. 492. I mean, they have said in the broker note they need to raise money. They do have loans and borrowings here of 6.1. That's from HomeServe, isn't it? It's spun out from, I think. Is that right? That Yeah. So operationally, it's looking very good. But again, you know, on a figures basis, you know, cash-wise, they may need to raise there. But I do like what they're doing. You know, they're in a big area that needs addressing. And, of course, millions and billions are lost on water leaks around the world. This is a double kick in the what's-nims for losses, right? Double kick. Literally, funding and update statement, re-possible offer. Now, you'd think when a company is going to acquire another company, it's usually at a premium, right? So not only is their funding failed, but the offer here they've been offered is literally at 25.25 pence, which is way below. I mean, let's go to the chart there. VLS. And that's the trouble. I keep saying in this environment, cash is king. You've got to have cash. If you don't, you're in trouble. You're ransomed the market. And look at that. It closed, what was it last week? 0.69. And the offer was 0.25. So the funding failed and the offer lower than that. And they, what the heck? That's an awful double bit of news there. Double whammy. Bit of news for Lossless. Bushveld agreement for acquisition of the interest in VanChem. So the company going to spend some money. This chart was looking better recently, wasn't it? BMN. Bushveld. Yeah, it's trying, isn't it? It's trying to get up there. But possibly incoming investment for them. Let's have a legal in general. But I don't know why I've been hearing more about this recently. They've invested in a company, a startup company, as well, I think. I just read about that somewhere. AEM. It's not listed. Again, it's rolling over. It's trying to get above that, you know, 200-day moving average, legal in general, isn't it? Not quite succeeding. But nevertheless, time, one of the people mentioned here, time has, it's a good looking chart. Has it come back a bit tall? Because it's looking good, time balance. Fair play. You know, you see there, previous resistance a couple of times, it broke up, gapped up above that, and it's moving higher. Good looking chart there. That is one of the only uptrends we've seen this morning, which is good. Take note of that. Above 200 a day, moving up, a series of higher highs. It's good news there for time finance. What else is there? Empire Metals, some good stuff there happening. What's the biggest right? That's an odd one. Do you see Music Magpie? Very odd one, this. Now, Music Magpie, they sell stuff, phones, and then they did in a day. Just I remember selling a big package of CDs to them, and it took me like days to package them up. But I think I got 32 quid back for this package of CDs. But response to speculation regarding a possible offer. Now, they said there, recent speculation. What's the speculation, everyone? And it confirms it is in early stage discussions with both BT Group and Aurelius Group. Aurelius, as a possible offer to acquire the entire issued and to be issued share capital of Music Magpie. That's interesting, isn't it? BT? Why is that then? Is that the phone side, I suppose? Any ideas on that? What were your thoughts on that? Music Magpie, but to be acquired by BT. Very interesting match. Or, you know, what's the synergies there? Any ideas? We know. BMN. Can't you train an AI GPT thing to stand in for John when he doesn't show up? I'm sure he could. Sam Altman, he was unemployed for a while because he used him, but he's never been sold. That's an odd thing, isn't it? OpenAI sacked Sam Altman. Microsoft owned around close to 50% of OpenAI. And now he's been employed by Microsoft. What is going on there? BMN, Mr. Steve says, a new guy seems to be switched on. I'm glad of that. Imagine getting a new guy and not switched on at all. Talking about chatbots and robotics. Chris, fair point. I freely admit to being signed up to the annexed story. Yeah. Well, do you know what, Chris? That's good. But do you see that? Because there's many people I speak to, you know, who literally, they bang on about one stock only. They will not see, I mean, if you're blinded by it, literally, you know, because I've done that in the past. I've been blinded by the stock and fell in love with it. And I wouldn't hear any negatives on it. And in fact, you find that. If someone gives you a negative on a stock that someone holds obsessed with, they instantly attack you. They don't stand back and say, oh, that's a good point. Let me look at that. Come back to you. But you're doing that, which is good. The only venture with broad exposure to sell ag. Cash rich, will be first to market on pet food, seafood, leather, cotton. No, it's a big area. And I said, I don't know how many investments they have, agronomics. I mean, they, assuming, you know, in those kind of situations, if one goes gangbusters, you know, the others can afford to fail to a certain extent. And this is the very nature of, you know, investing in early companies. They're high risk, and many of them will fail, you know. So, Greg says, John's gone on a charting course, so he can win some more arguments. Was hotel chocolate being bought the official bottom when we look back? Look bad? Sorry. What are you saying? Was it on the bottom? Let's look at hotel chocolat. Was it? Oh, hotel. It just got caught. Chocolat. Hot C. This is a chart of Hot C. Very interesting that literally it was, you know, off the bottom and rising, wasn't it? What was your question there? I think there may be some spelling mistakes. I'm not getting it. Music Magpie there. This is very interesting. A lot of companies, you can see going on. The market is cheap, isn't it? Because that's what's happening. You know, people are buying up stuff, acquiring stuff because they're cheap. So anyway, Empire Metals. What else we got there? Thick, high-grade TI mineralization incepted. What a guys. Okay. Technology... Minerals are very interesting, I think. Well, you know, it's up to you. You can be the judge of that. But they say that they're excited to share progress of updates of its 48.35% subsidiary, Recyclers Group. A recent achievement in Wolverhampton plant base, the accumulation of 100 tonnes of feedstock for maximum allowed under Environment Agency permit, a significant rise in recycling production, reaching up to 45% net black mass yield. Wow. Black mass. This black mass, a key component in battery manufacturing, contains essential metals like lithium, manganese, nickel and cobalt. The Wolverhampton facility not only recovers these valuable metals, but also segregates and prepares other materials such as copper, aluminium and plastics for resale, with a market rate for black mass exceeding £3,500 per tonne. This process marks a notable stride in battery recycling efficiency. That's an interesting company, isn't it? Because, you know, battery recycling, you know, there'll come a time when, I don't know, what's the life cycle of lithium-ion batteries? Is it 5-10 years? When you have a lot of these. And in fact, even disposable vapes now, they must be chucking out a lot of, you know, recyclable or lithium-ion batteries. But that's going to be a growing market, surely. What's the ticker there? TM1. TM1. So IPO'd back here, didn't it, in November 21. Again, you know, end of the bull market, pretty much. Worst time to list. Easiest time to list because there's cash available and people throwing money at anything. But this is not that. This seems like a decent project. But it is, it's struggling there in the chart. What's the market cap here of TM1? But it is an interesting company, I just think, in that space. You know, when you're looking at companies to invest in, I think you just look down 10 yards, in fact, 10 years on the line and see, is this going to be growing, this area? And you think, well, yes, 16 million market cap. It is, isn't it, this area of recycling batteries? It's going to be massive. How much money did they raise? Well, what cash do they have there? Raised 2.5. Okay, then they got convertible loans in there as well, which you've got to watch out who owns those, because if it's just someone who just, you know, does that for a living, then they're quite brutal with their selling into the stock. But if it's a stockholder or a significant stockholder, that's good. Biggest rise there, Oriole Resources. They've announced 5.7 million, but they've announced heads of terms signed with BCM. This is a Ghana-based BCM International, a well-respected mining and civil contractor, to earn in by BCM to fast-track the expiration of the company's 90%-owned MBE gold license. There we are. It's a bit of good news from them. What else is right? Rui. It's a strategy update. I don't know why I say Rui. It's not Rui. It's Rua Life Sciences, but I keep saying Rui. But they talk about a strategy update, and they've got some, seems like, incoming orders. And then they say... hitting within Ruhr's implantable textile sweet spot. That is annual revenue potential of 1.5 million. Another customer is expected to submit a bid request in the next few months at a value of 500K. So just saying the restructure is going well by the looks of it. Let's look at this in the chart. Where is in the chart? I mean, I did see it. Did get alert. See, it's down, but it's trying to rally. See, so many stocks at the moment trying to rally off the bottom. It's good for the indices, you know? Everything's trying to rally off the bottom. But what else is there? Music Magpie, Ilika's up there. Mercy Asset Management, they've sold, which is very interesting. Sale of, what's the market cap here? They've sold 118. They've sold Endreams. I thought that was a bed shop, but it's not. Turns out it's a VR games company. But they've sold it to Iconic for an enterprise value of 90 million. Now, I think, wow, 90 million? And they said that they've done a 2x return on the invested capital, or 18.4% into the rate of return there. This exit price from a 4.4% increase in the carrying value. Okay, so they're a leading virtual reality studio specializing in developing and publishing VR games. That's good, that, because it seems to me the VR area, games-wise, it seems to be cooling off a little bit. It's taking a back seat, hasn't it, to AI. So to get that price for it and do very well, so it's very good. Merck is a ticker there. Let's look at Merck. Any news you've seen, anyone? It's worth looking up. Look at that. It's come down from a long way, but look at that, straight above, punching through, piercing, spearing that 200-day moving average. That's good there. Where else is the news on the front page here, Vox? Let me just see it. What people are reading, what's moving. Share screen. Anything else? Fallers, Velocis, yeah, Helium 1, seen that. Ectech, they've just restructured some funding, whatever that's funding issues again. But McBride, technology, EdTech financing, pretty much covered all that stuff there. Let's look at any more your chat there. I really like Rio Tinto, but happy to sell entire holding when it drops. It's fairly predictable. Yeah, you've got to be, you know, that's it. At the end of the day, because I see people sitting on a stock for years. And it goes up and down the range, gets nowhere, goes up, goes down. They never sell, maybe buy more. I think, hang on a sec, there are companies who have provided you a positive return in the time you've been obsessed with this company. Think about that. That's all they're there for, is to provide you with a positive return. Now, how soon should you expect a return? That's the question. How long will you sit on a stock for, wait for a return? What's your thoughts on that? Because, you know, I just think, you should be seeing some kind of, you know, of course, we've gone through a bear market, so sometimes that can happen. But, you know, you're sitting in a company for like, you know, 1, 2 years, 3 years before a positive return. My patience doesn't last that long. I want to see something happening before then, you know. If you bought it at a good valuation and it's growing, then surely, you know, it should give you some kind of positive return within a year. Surely. Surely. I am sure. Seriously, don't call me surely. Yeah, Hot Chocolate, Anik, sorry, it's Mr. Steve. Anik has around 15 holdings. Okay. Informer, Hot Chocolate, sign of cheap assets reaching bottom when we look back. Yes. Is black mass related to dark matter? They may be cousins. Or first cousin, second cousins removed? I don't know. Song, have you directed with buying today? Yeah, but listen, I always keep saying this, right? And I think it's true. Think about stocks and shares like businesses, because they are businesses, or they should be. And like, it's almost like, say, a mate saying to you, if a mate owned, you know, a company, said you fancy investing in it, you want to look, you know, and imagine that the shares aren't liquid, they aren't listed, you know, so you're locked in. It's got to be a good business, hasn't it? It's got to be improving. Now, is Song improving? That's what I'm thinking, because I was taking a massive hit because the royalties are getting their songs, and not going to be as much as they predicted previously. So is it good valuation? Is it growing? You know, that kind of thing. Growth, value, and, you know, listed. Health, efficiency, momentum, potential. U Group and Good Energy. Yes. Well, what are you saying there? Yes. Good Energy is storming away. I don't want to spread rumors here, right? But a couple of years back, their biggest shareholder offered £4 a share for Good Energy, and they rejected it. And now it's shooting up. And I'm thinking, DX and City Pubs have taken on, DX and City Pubs have taken over on same day as Hot Chocolate last week. Yes, exactly. Those things happening. What's your thoughts on stock where 90% down? Listen, there's a saying, Michael, never buy a company at a 52-week low because it can go low. The momentum is there. People just sell. When you think it won't go low, people are underwater. A little rally, they'll sell again. You have net dinner. And never sell a company at a 52-week high because it keeps going higher pretty much. There's momentum. You've got to look over the fundamentals of the company first. I don't know much about Tiwi, but this was from my early, less educated days. Suffered from a sell-off and dilution. I'm not sure whether to get out or just hold what bit I've got. Yeah, that's the thing, another thing, isn't it? It's like if it's a minimal impact to your portfolio. Like I said, if it's only taking up those 1 or 2% of your portfolio, doesn't matter then. You know, it's unless it does 100 bags, it's not going to have any material impact on your portfolio. If it's still at 10% or something, then you may want to cut the loss. But let's have a look at Tui share price. I don't know where the chart. I mean, that's why I like it. There's so many moving parts to investing. It's not only, and that's why structure I'm looking at. You know, I'm writing a little PDF on. It's about what, when, how. So what to investing is fundamental. You know, and when is about technical, and how is about the portfolio makeup. You know, the portfolio management. How you buy it, what percentage it takes up, and when to, buy more or not. It was having a little bounce. Is it over the 50-day here? Let's look at this. It's hard to know about big stocks, but yeah, I mean, at the moment, so you can see before, 50-day moving average, which is this, blue one, is an early indicator pretty much. And what you look for in that is a break of this and break of previous highs. Now, it's fallen off a lot there, so it's hard to break previous highs. But it did do it here slowly, and then it broke down again. I don't know why that was. So it's a bit of a messy chart. Like I said, it has broken the 200-day a couple of times. But I tell you, you could always do. And so I do say to anyone is put a stop loss in, round about here or something, because if you put a stop loss in, you limit the downside, but you don't limit the upside. So like if it starts a rally, if you sell now and it starts a rally, you'll be gutted. But if it drops by there, then you cut the loss, put a stop loss in, say, 450 or something, then you're out. No more pain. That's it. The plane didn't take off. But if it does start a rally, then it starts a rally, you can move the stop loss up a little bit, So then each time you're not limiting the upside, but you are limiting the downside. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, get that wrong with stocks or shares. They can do, the upside can be massive on certain stocks. One of them can transform your portfolio. So when I see people top slicing micro nano caps, no, don't do that. Just limit the downside. Don't limit the upside, because literally all you need is one, micro nano cap, and it can, transform your portfolio value, even from a small holding. Oh, someone's saying. Sadly, it's 11 years with Aminex. Yeah, I've seen, I don't know if that's you, I don't want to say it, but there's someone, whenever you get people changing their logos, to the brand, the logo of the company on Twitter. No good. Sorry, I meant to say U Group and Good Energy are my favourite. Yeah, U Group looks good. Yeah, I think that rise that U Group had, I'm hoping will be replicated by Good Energy. That's amazing. I don't want to keep talking about my own shares. People keep saying you're pumping, but I think next year TUI will reintroduce dividends. Oh, okay, that's from Dagger. There we are. So that may help a lot. But again, if you want to, if you're wondering whether to get out to get it, you're staying. Just put a stop loss just below. Don't limit the upside. Like I said, it could rally massively. And what's worse than having been down in stock is missing out on the rally. You're taking the loss, and then it rallies strongly. Oh, my God. again, it's a double whammy, isn't it? So you don't want to, you want to try and avoid that. Just quickly two bits. There's not a lot happening. I did mention the one bit of news on Sam Altman to join Microsoft, who owns 50% of OpenAI, who he sacked from. Didn't they consult with Microsoft about that? Apparently, he had this other company he was involved with Johnny Ives, apparently. Johnny Ives is a British guy that almost designed, you know, is responsible for the Apple sort of stylings that you see today, but he left, didn't he, a few years back. But anyway, also, I've seen, read about three different stories here, right? Three different sources of Jeremy Hunt saying that there's room for tax cuts. There's no room for tax cuts. There's room for tax cuts. We could be doing tax cuts. I said, what are you doing? And I said, don't worry about that. Invest in growth. I would love to see this British ISA happening. You know, if you really want to stimulate the British economy, allow, you know, investment in companies, listed companies, any kind of company, actually. Give incentives to invest in British companies. That's what you need to do. There's loads of innovation. There are clever people in this country. There are geniuses. They're amazing. All they need is the funds to innovate. And you'll feel, you know, find they'll be world leaders in about 5-10 years' time. And that's why America do so well. There's deep capital pockets there. They're willing to take the risk and invest. So if you give tax breaks for that, for example, that will work. And also corporation tax, you know, for businesses, small businesses, the backbone of this country, you know. If you suppress them or restrain them or throttle them, they're not going to get anywhere. Give them the freedom they need to expand, to employ people, to innovate. And you'll find, you know, your tax take will be huge in years to come. Anyway, I don't know what's going on. But Wednesday is the autumn budget. We'll see then. I think there's rumours of maybe, opening up of ISA rules or a GB ISA. It'd be nice to see that. Would be nice, yeah, indeed. Anything else? If the UK ISA, then people will use original ISA for US only. I don't know how it's going to work. I think it was like, I don't know, was it an extra 5,000 if it's UK based? I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. I have asked John if he's on today. I got no reply, but, hopefully be back tomorrow. Don't forget, if you do like this, the content here, please hit that like button. Share it if you could. And the all important thing is subscribe to the channel if you could. That shows we're going in the right direction. And freebie, the Vox Markets app. Give it a try. If you haven't downloaded it, please try. It's free and it gives you RNSs. What you have to do is basically go on there, you know, register, then follow companies, and you get RNSs from those companies straight to the front screen of your smartphone. So you don't have to go on via email or look for them or on a website. Look, they come to you. RNSs from companies you want to follow. Thank you very much for that, and speak tomorrow. Bye 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 bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.